It's a privilege for me to join with you on this night of the novena. And so together we ask the Lord to bless us as we reflect on the sixth sorrow of our Blessed Mother, which is when Jesus was taken down from the cross. Asking God's blessing, we sign ourselves in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. As we focus on the sixth sorrow of Mary, I'd like you to think of a time when you saw a picture of the Pietà, where Mary holds the lifeless body of her son that has been removed from the cross. It has been said that at that moment, when Jesus' body was taken down from the cross and laid in his mother's arms, that was the moment of the intersection of the deepest love between the Blessed Mother and her son. While Michelangelo's sculpture of the Pietà remains the most famous, there are also several other sculptures depicting the same scene. In some of them, the Pietà is accompanied with four figures around the base of the sculpture. The four figures represent the four gospel writers, and each of the gospels includes the Passion of Christ as a central part. And while the gospels do not specifically mention that Mary held the lifeless body of Jesus, the idea grew steadily in popularity ever since the 13th century. The term Pietà literally means pity, and the final farewell of Mary to her son is said to invoke such great pity from the mother who witnessed the tremendous signs of suffering on the body of her son. The full title for the sculpture is the Madonna della Pietà, which translates as the Mother of Pity. In John's Gospel, we read the following about the body of Jesus being removed from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus, and Pilate permitted it. So he came and took his body. Nicodemus, the one who had first come to Jesus at night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and bound it with burial cloths, along with the spices, according to the Jewish burial custom. Now in the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been buried. So they laid Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was close by. Although no mention is made of Mary in this passage, we know from John's Gospel that shortly before Jesus died, he looked at his mother who was standing next to the beloved disciple, John. And that is when Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother." Many of us know of mothers who have lost a child. It is one of the most heart-wrenching hurts that a devoted mother could ever experience. Mary, who stood beneath the cross of her now dead son, surely could have been thinking that she was with her son when he was in her womb, and she would now be with him as he is laid in the tomb. On a natural level, Mary surely felt the sorrow and anguish that any loving mother would experience in her child's death. But on the supernatural level, one which Mary had been privileged to experience in a unique way, she was resigned. She knew that Jesus, her son, had accomplished what he had come to do, and that is to redeem all humankind. A number of saints have written what they considered to have occurred in those moments when Jesus died and when he was taken down from the cross. Other saints, like Saint Bridget, indicated that our Blessed Mother actually revealed what had taken place. Saint Bridget said that the Blessed Mother revealed to her that she, the Blessed Mother, closed the eyes of her son when he was taken down from the cross. However, she could not close his arms. What St. Bridget indicated by this was that Jesus desired to remain with open arms to receive all truly penitent sinners who return to him. Pope Benedict XV, when asked about the revelations given to St. Bridget, stated the following: though they do not merit the same credence as the truths of religion, one can, however, believe them out of human faith, conforming to the rules of prudence by which they are probable, and supported by sufficient motives that one might believe in them piously. St. Alphonsus Liguori, who lived in the 1700s, wrote about the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother. Here's an excerpt from the writings of St. Alphonsus with regard to the sixth sorrow. The sorrowful mother, turning to the lifeless body of Jesus, said, "O loving wounds, I adore you, since through you salvation has been given to the world. Many through these wounds shall receive the pardon of their sins." He also wrote, with regard to the sixth sorrow, "In the Virgin Mary, her love of God is one with her concern for all of her children. Her heart, which was sensitive to the smallest details, must have suffered immensely on seeing the collective cruelty and the ferocity of the executioners that led to the passion and death of Jesus. Mary, however, does not speak. Like her son, she loves, she keeps silent, and she forgives." I'll conclude with another brief excerpt taken from a poem simply entitled INRI, which indicates how Pilate wanted Jesus to be recognized as Jesus hung upon the cross. The letters INRI stand for Jesus, the Nazarene, King of the Jews. The poem, written by Rita Simmons, has a verse that correlates with the sixth sorrow of Mary. Here is that verse: "His Holy Mother is our Queen, beholding victory unseen. As from his throne he thirsts and cries for souls to come and claim the prize." The victory unseen refers to Christ's resurrection. The throne is the cross. And for souls to come and claim the prize is for us to accept the invitation of salvation that Jesus offered to us from the cross. So once again, the verse from that poem: "His Holy Mother is our Queen, beholding victory unseen. As from his throne, he thirsts and cries for souls to come and claim the prize." Truly, the sixth sorrow of Mary is the moment where the deepest love between mother and son intersected. It is also the moment of deepest love between the bridegroom, Jesus, and his spouse, the Church. It is the moment, or should be the moment, of deepest love between our Lord and each of us. May God bless us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.